Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerf Right Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 221 of Nerd Pride Radio.
221? That's the number of Dalmatians that died on the set of 101 Dalmatians.
That is not truth as far as we know. No. 221.
I mean, if you're going to make a movie about Dalmatians, some Dalmatian got to break a few eggs to make
an omelet. Yeah.
You got to break a few eggs to make a Dalmatian.
The 221B Baker Street, the address of Sherlock Holmes. Is that... That's a little more appropriate.
I like mine better, but sure.
Although, my alternate was 221, name of a Thelma Houston album from 1978. But, Sherlock Holmes seemed more appropriate. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me.
How you doing?
I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd. I know. How many times have I done this, and I missed a line in my own script, and I was too flustered to recover.
Guys, Pavlov works. If you say something enough, he'll just start saying it on his own.
Oh, hold on. Silence! I can't start over. All right. D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comic nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus... There's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be
like
you.
Like a memorization nerd.
Are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. And next week, just for you, I will do the entire intro without the script.
Okay.
All right, I will do it next week. And I'll do it perfectly.
I'll hold you to that.
Perfectly. All right, and if you don't remember, then it's on you.
Okay, hold on. I'll set my phone to remind me next week.
My co-host this week, it's Scruffy the Janitor.
Fire him if you dare.
That's right. But you know what? We're going to get straight to the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. This is unlike the beginning, which is obviously a wing and a prayer. But the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast, this is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I will add it to my master list, and then the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. All right, straight into it. First up is my gaming table.
I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die.
Role-playing games, video games, board games, card games, any games, if it fits on my gaming table, then I am here to share it with you. And this week, this is what I'm calling my Game Night double feature, because I only watched one movie this week, and it happened to be Game Night. But then I also had a Boy Scout lock-in event where it was Game Night, and we played board games and card games all night long, and it was really awesome. So we'll start with the Game Night lock-in first. We had 15 Boy Scouts there, so ages anywhere from 11 to 16, and we played all sorts of stuff. And I mean, we started in the middle of the afternoon and ran till about 3 in the morning, and everybody pitched in, and everybody tried new stuff, and we did cool things, and it was awesome. My favorite from last night is The Captain is Dead, which I got for Christmas, and this is the first time I've actually had a chance to break it out and play it for real. And The Captain is Dead is really, really cool, guys. It is a co-op game where you are 5 minutes into an episode of Star Trek, and the captain is dead. You are now being, your ship is being invaded by evil aliens, and you're getting blasted from outside, so the shields are going down, systems are failing, and it is up to you, the crew, to work together to save the ship. The whole plot is the jump core has been breached, so you have to perform jump core repairs until you finally get up into working condition and you can get your ship out of there. And the way it goes is, it's just brilliant. And we did not even come close to finding the right balance for this, because everybody has a role on the ship. You play, you know, whatever crew member, and you can play anywhere from, you know, the chief engineer down to the hologram that lives in the computer core to, you know, the telepath to the, I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that you can do on this ship. And, it has this system of, skills. So you wind up having, you know, every turn you activate, you get usually about 4 actions that you can take. And most things that you do on the ship, you know, repairing a system or using a system or helping someone out or making a trade, require some sort of action and often also some sort of skill to go with it. And so you have to keep collecting all these skill resources that you can then apply to whatever. And, it is rough. It is absolutely rough because you have this deck of, it's the alert deck, but it's basically the deck of all the crap that can go wrong. And it's horrifying. And the further you get into the deck, the more drastic these things get. So that you start off with 5 of these cards in play. And when you pull these 5 out, it's like, okay, well, the teleporter's off, so we actually have to walk everywhere on the ship we want to get. And, okay, well, crap, the computer's down, so no one can gather any new skill sets.
Sounds like this ship wasn't up to code in the first place.
Oh, man, it is rough. And so you're running around playing... Our problem was we saw everything that was broken, and so we ran around playing damage control the whole time. And if you play it that way...
You'll never get anything done.
Yeah, until it gets to the orange portion of the deck where they start to get more severe. And this is what happened to us both games. We're going through the yellow alert, yellow alert, yellow alert. And every time someone takes a turn, oh, by the way, new alert. So a new system goes down or a new attack on the shields or new aliens are now invading the ship or whatever. So it's every single move, something bad is happening again. And so we were playing catch up the whole time. And we would do super well while the yellow alerts were going on. And we would, you know, we'd kind of fix systems and keep kind of caught up. So we're always just maybe one system behind. And by doing that, all we did was hold even until the orange alerts started breaking out. And then those were too powerful for us and we just wound up dying. And that was both games that we played. And so the secret to this thing is you have to weigh the consequences and decide that, okay, yeah, I know that system is down. And I know I could fix it in this turn. I could have that all taken care of right now. But you know what? Maybe I want to focus on actually getting the jump core repaired so we can get out of here even if the rest of the ship has fallen apart. And there's a balance in there somewhere, and we were nowhere close to it. I mean, like, you have to go repair that jump core like 5 times in order to get it finally working. We never repaired it once. We did repair it once, but that's only because we got a free card that says, hey, 1 free repair. Oh, damn it. Okay. So, you know, that was cool, but we never actually got our stuff together enough to get over there and make a fix. So, the thing is really hard. And, I'm assuming that once I get better at it, that, you know, I'll actually start making some progress and I'll see that it's really well balanced. But even with it being a complete washout both times, everybody involved had a great time. Everybody loved playing it. We really enjoyed it. It was just a blast. And it has the disadvantage that a lot of co-op games have in that it's a co-op game with full information. So everyone's hand is laid out on the table in front of you. You can give each other advice and offer. So essentially, if you've got some, you know, one really pushy person can just take over and kind of start telling everybody what to do. And it's basically one person playing the game. Where this one had an advantage though, is there are so many ways to do stuff that everybody was pitching in with really original ideas. And usually on your own turn, because you're thinking most about what you want to do, but every now and then everybody had some opportunity where it was someone else's turn and they're like, wait a minute, but what if you picked him up and carried him into the next room? Oh my God, we could do that. And it was super cool. So, hold on. Someone's poking me in the ribs. Yes?
Can we do something I can talk about?
Nope. So, anyway, The Captain is Dead, I thought, was a spectacular game. I absolutely love it. It was my favorite game that I played last night, and I cannot wait to do it again.
With me this time, hopefully.
Or with my favorite children. That's, you know. Of course with you, baby. You know I love you.
Don't touch me.
Okay. But I also played some more Rhino Hero last night.
God, I love Rhino Hero.
Rhino Hero is great.
It's like Jenga, but way more stressful.
Yeah, oh, super stressful. And it happened again last night. I mean, it's so tense. And I wound up knocking it over in the first game. I'm like being all cocky and showing these kids how to play it. And
at least you're not Jacob.
And on my, when I finally took the tower down, it was me going, ha ha, and check it out. You know, because they're all thinking, I can't get it. I'm like, boom, got it. And look at that. It's a double roof. I get to throw on another one. Bam, I knocked the whole thing over. Oh, because I was being cocky. It was terrible.
Why would you do that?
Because I thought I could get rid of an extra card. I don't know why I thought I had to get rid of a card, because there's no way this was coming back around. I could have just walked away, but oh well. And the other one that, I mean, we played a lot of stuff. There was some Secret Hitler, and that was great, and the kids played Catan, and we played Magic, and there was Munchkin out there, and all sorts of things. But I also played my new Clue set that I got for Christmas, and Clue is still as awesome as I remember. I love playing Clue. Oh, I love playing Clue. And I think you would enjoy it as well.
Clue, the game for boring people.
No, I think you would love playing Clue with adults, so that you're actually using deductive reasoning. And my favorite is when you're sitting there and just by looking at your sheet, someone makes a call, someone else shows them something, and you're like, oh, I know what they showed them. And then you can check off something on your sheet, and it wasn't even your turn. I love doing that. This one replaces Miss White with Dr. Orchid. So Dr. Orchid is in pink. And she is also Asian, so they've introduced some diversity
into... Wait, a female doctor?
I know! Bizarre, right? So they've introduced a little diversity into... into the game. Just a little. And we didn't use them, but they also have a new set of clue cards, so that in addition to the standard game of solving room and weapon and murderer, you also have a stack of clue cards so that when you roll the dice... The ones on the dice are both magnifying glasses. And so if you roll a magnifying glass, then you're probably not moving very far, so you probably won't get to another room. But having a magnifying glass means, hey, you get to flip over a clue card. And clue cards are things like, you know, you get to sneak a peek at a card from someone else's hand, or you can, like some of them are powerful. Like you can just call out a particular person that you think is the murderer, and... If someone has that card, they just have to lay it on the table, and now everyone knows, nope, it wasn't that person. So it's just ways of getting extra cards revealed earlier in the game and making it, in my opinion, looks like it's something that would make it a little easier for some of the younger players. That it's just different kinds of action. And so I'm excited to try that out. I mean, we played Classic Clue just because I was missing Classic Clue, but I think we'll try it with the clue cards next time and see how that works. It was cool. All right. But enough of game night.
Let's get on to game night.
Let's get on to game night. That's the other half of my double feature. All right, we went to go see the movie Game Night.
It's
with
so good.
Yeah, with Rachel McAdams and what's the dude's name? Jason Bateman. Thank you. You're no help whatsoever. And Jesse Plemons, by the way. Jesse Plemons, for those of you who watch Black Mirror, Jesse Plemons was the guy who played the captain in the first episode of this season, the Star Trek episode. He played the captain in that episode. And,
nerd.
That super creepy business that he's got going on, he carries it over into Game Night.
Oh my god, he's so creepy.
He is so spot on in this movie. He is, I would say he's one of my favorite things in the movie, but everything in this movie is one of my favorite things in this movie.
Oh my god, it's so good.
It was so funny. We went to go see Game Night because Lisa got done with school and realized, oh my god, if I get home, if I hurry home, we can get there just in time to go watch this movie and use our MoviePass cards, which we did, and I love MoviePass, guys. Really love MoviePass.
Not sponsored, but if you'd like to, we're right,
right
here.
But MoviePass, if you want to sponsor me, you know, I'm going to talk about this every time I go to see a movie, which is going to be all the time now. All right, look, let me get off movie night for just a second so I can talk about MoviePass. For those of you who are not familiar...
Is the name of the movie, by the way.
Oh, did I not say...
You said movie night.
Oh, yeah, close enough.
That's a much different movie.
Mike was wrong! So, MoviePass is $9.99 a month for a single MoviePass, and that MoviePass allows you to get into one movie every day for free, period. That's it. There are no conditions, no... It's not like, you know, when the thing says no passes and, you know, it's on opening... Like Aiden. When Aiden used to work at the theater, he had... You know, he could go to one movie for free whenever he wanted. He could bring a guest and he'd go see free movies all the time. But
as
when
it's... As long as they weren't pass restricted.
But, yeah, if it's opening night or, you know, it's early in the movie's run and it says no passes, then, oh, well, he can't go in... he can't get in on those because those are reserved... You know, we know that they're going to be packed. No, MoviePass works just fine for those too. I can go opening night. I saw Black Panther opening weekend. Had no problems with it. And I mean, you'll double check that it works with a theater near you, but if it works with my one theater in my hometown here, and this is a rinky-dink little theater not connected to any national chain at all.
In the middle of nowhere, Nebraska.
Right. Podunk, the name of my new town.
Well, actually, it is connected to a chain of three states.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a chain of seven theaters. But it is, again, it's a tiny little theater, and they take MoviePass. So you're bound to live near a theater that takes MoviePass. And it works exactly the way they advertise. I don't know who's making what money where, how this benefits anybody. I don't know, and I don't care, because it means that anytime I want to go see a movie, we just go see a movie. And it's really cool. Like I liked Game Night so much that I might want to just go watch it again this week. And I can, because it's already paid for.
And he can take me with him.
And I mean, obviously I could take him with me. So...
No. Go with your original joke. I saw it there.
No. I was going to say I wouldn't, but you know what? I would.
I would take you if, you know, you were the son I liked.
No!
Was that the joke?
No, I was actually going to say, well, I could, but, you know, I'd take your mom. But I don't know that mom...
I'd take your mom.
She's very busy this week with parent-teacher conferences and all.
Ugh.
So, anyway, MoviePass is awesome, and I just convinced, because I've been raving about it so much, Yancey just signed up for MoviePass this week. And when he signed up, it turns out that the price has been reduced. If you sign up for MoviePass right now, you pay for a full year in advance. You're only paying $8 a month for the full year. And it says it comes with a free year of their streaming service, Xandor, which I don't know if my MoviePass comes with a...
I am the mighty Xandor!
I don't know if...
Stream your shows for free!
I don't know if I have free streaming from Xandor, but, you know, I'll look. Interesting.
Again, not sponsored by MoviePass, but MoviePass, look how good we are at this.
All right, so... I mean, yeah, we just gave you like a 3-minute commercial for nothing because we love you that much.
Now, not to say that we don't want to get paid for giving you free commercials.
All right. Game Night the movie is...
Incredible.
Really funny. Look, Rachel McAdams and Jason Bateman have really incredible chemistry together in this movie. They are believable. And the writing is really good, the acting is really good, and so they go together well, and they make a great couple, and they're both obsessive, gamers, and that plays into this movie, and they're both hyper-competitive, and you get to, it's just fun. It's just fun, and I gotta tell you, all the supporting characters, everybody around, just made this movie work. Yes, there's always an extra star added to any movie that I see in the theater with my family. Which is going to be all of them now, but, thank you, MoviePass. But, even with the bonus star thrown in, this was still a great movie. I mean, it was so much fun. We laughed so hard through the entire thing. So again, high recommend. All right. Was there anything we wanted to add to that though without offering spoilers? That's what I'm afraid of, is I don't want to give any spoilers away. And it was so good. Yeah, he can't think of anything either. So, I think he's high. All right. I'm kidding. He doesn't do that I know of. All right, anyway. So...
Sorry, I zoned out. What?
Thank you. You're helpful. That is it for my gaming table. All right. Next up is Uncomfortable Topics.
Oh boy.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna do anything big. In the wake of the shooting in Florida and all the gun control talk in the nation and all this, I got to hear a woman named Zeynep Tufekci, who is I don't know what she does, but she was on a podcast and talking about different things related to
if you say her name backwards, does she get sent back to her own dimension?
All right, that's racist. She's Turkish, and therefore you are mocking her culture. So, and...
Are you going to tell me that Mixoplex is not Turkish?
Actually, no, Mixoplex is Turkish. If you read in, that is actually from, not his original appearance in Superman, but somewhere around the fifth or sixth time when they want to start justifying him, he's actually Turkish.
Really?
So, no. No, of course not. I have no idea. No, he's from the fifth dimension in Turkey. So, anywho, good lord, people, would you stop? Oh man, hold on, let me silence this phone. That is Jacob and my wife having a conversation that I'm apparently, they're having it on our shared feed, even though I am not part of this conversation at all. So, actually, the first, Western explorers to discover the fifth dimension mistakenly thought that they had found a southern route to the Middle East, and so they called it Turkey, even though it's actually in the fifth dimension. So, there you go. Anyway.
Define southern.
Through the fourth dimension? So, back on topic. This is supposed to be uncomfortable. Uncomfortable topics, by the way, is just the stuff that it's usually current event stuff, and it's usually stuff that is contentious and you wouldn't want to talk about it at the Thanksgiving dinner table. And so thus the whispers. But anyway, what Zeynep Tufekci was talking about, I just really like saying that name, is she was talking about, she mentioned the CDC guidelines, the Centers for Disease Control guidelines for proper media coverage of suicides. And how, and she was using them in the context of how they would apply to use the same guidelines for reporting on mass shooters as well. And I just thought it was fascinating that really the CDC has issued guidelines on how to report on suicides. That is amazing, but it would make sense because when they are misreported, suicides can become very romanticized and. She offered as an example for whatever time period after Robin Williams committed suicide, because of the way his suicide was presented in the media, and it was very romanticized as everyone talked about how beloved he was and his effect on society and all the people that, that had been affected by him and all of this, because of the romanticization of his life and his story, suicides over the next however many days or weeks, went up by about 10%. Over the baseline. And so thus, media coverage of suicides can have an effect on the suicide rate. And in general, she said, most people follow the guidelines pretty well, but in a case like Robin Williams, it was really tough to keep a lid on it because it was such huge news.
He was such an influential person.
Exactly. But in general, it is, you don't want to romanticize it. You don't want to make this all about them as the tragic hero and creating a whole bunch of sympathy for them so that people who feel like they are oppressed or trod upon can feel like, oh, this is how I'll teach people. This is how I'll garner sympathy. This is how I will become that figure. Is if I kill myself, then that's how people will look at me. And so therefore you want to avoid that. Well, she was applying that to, the same sort of guidelines for how you report on mass shootings and that you don't want to, you certainly don't want to romanticize the shooters. And yes, we always want to get to the bottom of it and find out why people did what they did. That's always one of the biggest questions is, but why did they do it? But you also don't want to create this romanticized story. You don't want to be, running their manifesto 24/7 on the news channels. You don't, you know, she described it as this mass shooting was a short movie for mass consumption that is scripted by the mass shooter. This is the story they want to tell in the way they want to tell it. And so if you basically just take the script that they created and that's what you're running 24/7 on the news channels for the next week, then you've just given them that voice to say, again, to romanticize their story, to make it seem, because so many people who go into mass shootings are doing it for the purpose, they're intending to die when it's over. They're intending to commit suicide by cop. And the bigger the spectacle they can make, the more news coverage they'll get, the more attention they'll get, the more people will see them and hear their voice, know who they are, and that's what we want to avoid. And so that's what she was talking about on this one. So as I'm not speaking at this particular moment. I'm not speaking for or against any particular issue. I thought it was really awesome that the CDC has guidelines for how to report on stuff like this, because it actually affects people's lives. And also, one thing to say is that she also wanted to emphasize that they're not saying don't report on these things. These are absolutely news and absolutely need to be reported on. But if you can do so in a way that is responsible and doesn't encourage more death, that would be really nice too. So I thought that was cool. All right. Aiden is chomping at the bit over here to get moving.
No, it's just gum.
So, oh. All right, good. Well, then you know what? I'm going to come up with another topic for me. My next one is called, Geez, Netflix has a lot of crappy horror movies.
And boy, do they ever.
We should get some theme music for that. But anyway, Geez, Netflix has a lot of crappy horror movies. This is the time for Aiden when he talks about all the crappy horror movies that he watches on Netflix.
They're just so much fun.
I know. Or wait, to introduce this one, though, because of last week.
Is this just me and Kyle's segment now? Or
apparently, Kyle is so jealous of you and so jealous that you get to be on a podcast at all, much less a podcast with me, that he's decided he's going to horn in on your territory.
I'm fine with that. And I'm going to have to look at him.
This is now the Kyle and Aiden show. So, Kyle commented on last week's episode when we did the inaugural segment of Geez, Netflix has a lot of crappy horror movies, and Aiden talked about several movies there. And so Kyle commented and said, by the way, I've seen The Void and liked it quite a bit, but because I was expecting it to be shit and it wasn't.
Right, exactly. It looks so cheesy. Like, you know how when you hold on, like, a Netflix icon for a while and it just goes through screenshots in the movie?
Yeah.
It's like, really? Those are the ones you picked? This is what we're doing right now? And then you get into it and it's way better than it looks.
All right. Kyle then continued and said, tell Aiden, I've seen Double X and I enjoyed it, but with all, or XX, I'm sure that's how it's pronounced.
It's XX. It's a reference to the
it's female.
Double X chromosome.
Right.
Because, yeah.
So, yeah, tell him I've seen XX and enjoyed it, but with all anthologies, it's mixed. He says, I also saw Blood Glacier already and thought it was just okay, very run-of-the-mill. Aiden said that I already watched The Last Ship, but I don't know what that is. To which I said, I believe that was The Last Shift. And he said, oh yeah, The Last Shift was a freaking bomb. So, according to Kyle, very high recommend from him. Also shared some similarities in tone with The Void.
Which is what I was trying to find in my head when I was describing The Void last week. Because I knew the words I wanted to say, but they weren't there.
Right. And then, he said he would watch Residue this week and post up. And so, and like within 24 hours of telling me he was going to watch Residue, I think it was later that same night, he's like, he sends me a text message, which he never texts me for anything. Sends me a text message and says, I am only 30 minutes into this and horror noir, yes please. So he's super excited.
And for those of you who haven't seen Residue, it's a movie about a man who, through whatever means, finds this black book. And there's all this mystery around this black book. And once you open and read your first word, the weird stuff starts to begin. And the only way to get it to stop happening is to finish the book.
Okay.
That's all I'm giving you.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure Kyle has more to say on the topic.
But you loved Residue.
Like, I absolutely love Residue.
Like, Aiden loved it so much that last week when Kyle said, give me one to watch that you don't think I've seen, this was, without question, Aiden's first choice was Residue. Yeah, Kyle did in fact finish watching it.
Oh boy.
I know. He's talky. He writes shit for a living, so.
You grew up with this guy?
You know what? It wasn't so bad when he was 12. All right. I love you, Kyle. Kyle says, I really liked this movie. It's basically an attempt at film noir with a horror Cthulhu plot, which is genius because when you think you've seen everything in horror movies, then you see noir Cthulhu pulp and it's freaking great.
She walked into my office like an undefinable mass of tentacles and mouths. Am I doing this right?
She was the kind of dame they write similes about.
They were the kind of dames Lovecraft would write a book on.
Yeah. This is, and by the way, the kind of dame that people write similes about is a direct quote from Thrilling Adventure Hour. So, not original to me.
Again, not sponsored, but if you'd like to sponsor us, Dead Podcast.
They're out of business. All right. Don't get me wrong, Kyle says this is a low budget movie with low budget actors, and it shows.
Very obviously latex.
Yeah. But the movie revels in its low-budget gross effects and over-the-top performances, and I think the lead actor actually does a great job of playing the alienated cold noir detective.
Oh my god, yeah.
He says, the first half of the movie, super ambitious and freaking fantastic, and then it all kind of fell apart for me in the second half, but that's okay, because it still half-landed the ending, which is a huge accomplishment in a movie that tried as much as this one did.
Exactly.
It was hard to keep that hard-boiled, gritty Cthulhu plot going at the same pace for a full 90 minutes, but at the end, it got a little frayed. The director tried to pull it together. Frankly, I'm not sure that the ending makes a lot of sense if you think about it too much, but it didn't bother me because I decided not to think about it too much. Here's the thing. I would never have watched this movie without Aiden's recommendation. The Netflix clips and synopsis made this thing look like a made-for-cash rehash of old Wishmaster movies from the 80s. But it was way more than that and far superior to those terrible types of horror movies.
Again, the screenshot looks like a really horrible mask of the horned blue race from Dragon Age 3.
Nerd. Kyle's final lines... most importantly is it tried to do something completely novel in the horror genre and mostly succeeded at doing so, which is super surprising and a great watch. So, God, high review, guys. That's really cool. Now I might actually want to watch this. So, yeah. All right. So that is one of the four movies we're reviewing this week.
Just if you guys haven't figured out the format, we talk about movies on this segment in descending order of how much I liked them. So next up for this week is Creep. And I can't talk about the plot of Creep without giving things away, so I am going to warn you about spoilers. Creep is about a cameraman who got hired to go out into a small town and film this dude's last days of life. And so it's a... He's gonna die, and this is a video recording for their baby on the way.
Oh, okay.
Turns out he's not married, he doesn't have a kid, and he's not dying. And he's really not mentally stable.
Really?
And I'm gonna just finish it off by saying there's a reason the movie's named Creep.
Nice! Alright, see, look, up to that moment, I wasn't hooked. But once you say that none of that's true and he's unstable, all right, I'm in.
And it's one of those movies where it's so creepy and the guy is so unpredictable that you are constantly, like, looking in the background and trying to look in the corners of the screen, trying to find, okay, where the hell is he? What is going on? What am I missing? It ends on kind of a blunt note.
Okay.
It kind of just, I don't want to say it peters out, it just kind of just stops. Like, there's no closure, there's no nothing, it just...
Huh.
I don't want to give away the end, right. it just...
But even with that, still you're second rated for this week, right. So worth watching.
Next up on the list is XX. Kyle, don't rib me. It was between Creep and XX that I was trying very hard to decide which one to put as second or third. And I just happen to like Creep a little more. XX is a three-part anthology of horror short stories written by women, with the main characters being women, and those were like the requirements when they wrote it. There is one interesting one really cheesy ooga booga one, and then just one really boring one.
Yeah, overall you said you were mostly just bored with this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. It was alright. The one about the red box had me just wishing for more. The others was just like, alright, cool.
Okay. And then lastly?
It's Indigenous.
It's Indigenous! Okay.
Okay, so, you know those movies where...
I don't.
Where it's a group of teenagers out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, wait, are they so far out that their cell phones don't get any reception?
Right, okay, and they go out looking for trouble.
Oh, yeah.
I.e., in this case, a forbidden area of the rainforest.
Oh. Hey, you guys want to see a dead body?
Exactly. It is this forbidden area that all of the locals and even the guy who drove them out says, you don't want to go there. Please don't go there. Please don't go there.
Hey, you guys want to go in there and we'll poke some fun at the stupid superstitious locals?
And here's the thing. They go there and they bang.
Nice. That's...
Nuh.
Right?
Why? What? The moment a local says, hey, how about no? I'm like, alright, I'll listen.
Okay, so stupid teenagers doing really stupid stuff
in the woods.
And does the movie redeem itself at any point?
No.
Ah.
There so are sad. There were some points.
I almost feel like I saw part of this. It was a rainforest.
Mm-hmm.
So like they're on like some at some point they're like on or around some like Mayan looking ruins or something like this.
Maybe?
I just remember things coming out of the rainforest in a horror movie and attacking, and it must have been something you were watching because I only saw about 15 minutes of it,
and then I walked away.
I'm
going to pull up a general image of what they looked like.
Okay, alright, yeah, you do that because if it was that one, I just remember, I'm just getting vague flashes of it, that's all. But I wasn't intrigued enough to stay.
Things that looked roughly like that.
I don't know.
They're very creepypasta rake-like. It's... Would not recommend.
That is a shame.
Just, yeah.
Oh, hey, as long as we're on it, this isn't part of this segment, but I did bring up Black Mirror earlier, because I have always been a fan of Black Mirror. I rave about Black Mirror. And I'm telling you, this latest season of Black Mirror, 6 episodes, and I watched the first one, the Star Trek episode, which everybody talks about, and loved it. Thought it was spectacular. And then Yancey told me he's watched the entire thing, and he can't wait for me to finish watching it so we can talk about it. And so I watched the second episode, and it was like pulling teeth. It was well done, really well done, but it, all right, look, you ever gone to a speech meet for high school?
Oh, no. Don't ever open anything like that.
You ever been to a speech meet and you have to sit through a round of serious? Serious is one of the categories. I'm telling you, if you ever have to go and watch a speech meet, avoid serious if at all possible, because serious is the suicide abortion, war survivor, abuse survivor. Sirius is every horrible, tragic, heartstring pulling tale you can tell just to make the judges cry. Well,
did I tell you that me and Misty, wrote down the world's most serious speech?
No.
In 30 minutes, we had a guy who was a failed abortion get in a car wreck that made him lose his legs, and because he didn't have legs, his wife left him and took both of his children.
Oh, God.
And then he was shipped off to war because of a draft. And because he couldn't fight with him being in a wheelchair, he got shot in both shoulders and lost the use of his arms.
It is, look, Sirius is like that. Each story is trying to be more tragic than the last. They're trying to tell you the most horrifying, sad, heart-wrenching tale possible, and none of them end on any note of redemption or hope or, no, everything is as tragic and bleak as humanly possible. All right. Now, knowing that, and knowing that that's what sitting through, 70 minutes worth of that sort of speech round is.
I cannot imagine what it's like to be a serious judge.
Right. Oh, yeah, Jacob says whenever he goes to judge, he says,
Please don't be serious.
It's like, bad enough to get serious, worse is getting JV serious. So,
oh, no.
By the way, that's the title of this episode, JV Serious. So the point is,
Viagra, serious.
That episode, the episode 2 of this season of Black Mirror, entitled Archangel, it was like watching a serious. It was like watching a whole round of serious speech where I saw the tragedy coming the first 10 minutes in, and then the whole rest of it is like, look, I know that it's not going to end well. There's no way that this could end well. There's no way this is ending well for anybody. And sure enough, I have to follow this plodding path for an hour to where, oh yeah, that ended even worse than I could have imagined. That was terrible. All right. I thought that was bad. Episode 3 was even worse. If you haven't seen it, you can watch it if you want, but oh my God, nothing redeeming about it. It just keeps going down and down and down. And I get it. And I get what they're playing off with the technology, and I get that. But God, can we have done that in like a 15-minute bit instead of spending an hour at pulling all my teeth out? Oh, so I hate to badmouth Black Mirror, but dude, those two were rough. And so I'm telling Yancey this, and he's like, oh yeah, those not good. He said, but oh, episode 4 is pretty good. You should watch.
Not sponsored by Black Mirror, but so Black Mirror, if you're listening.
But Black Mirror, if you're listening, man, shape up. But for those of you who like the Black Mirror style, I hear awesome things about Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams, which is another...
It still sounds like a porno to me.
It is still another technology-based episodic Twilight Zone-y sort of thing, supposedly. I haven't watched it yet.
Sorry, we have a dying sun in the background.
But I hear that Electric Dreams is really good, especially for whatever reason. Episode 9 is like the high water mark of it. So I've been meaning to watch that next. So we'll see. Anyway, that I didn't mean to step onto your segment there. But...
Oh, it's time for questions from Ronster.
Oh my God, is it? It is. It's time for the pod-o-matic.
You cannot hold a note as good as I can.
Hot dog, this is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You and Ronster, working as a team. You want to hear me haver on about something, you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums. I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic, honestly, is about whatever you want it to be. And our first number... is 87. Is that 87? My old eyes can't see anymore.
Yeah, that's 87, old man.
Alright, you sure? Because I would hate to get that wrong. 87 comes from someone named...
Ronster.
Let's see. Well, you don't know. Oh, it's Ronster. Yep. Darn it. He owns a third of the list still, and he will for a while. Ronster says, have you ever spoiled a spite or revenge plot?
I've plotted many. And I just don't have the heart to go through with them.
So you spoil your own.
Right.
Have you spoiled someone else's revenge plot?
Absolutely, all the time. So much fun.
I can't think, not in any major way I haven't. At least not that I can think of off the top of my head. Once again, I'm sure I'll get all done with this, and someone will write into me and go, you son of a bitch, you don't remember the time that you... Oh, yeah, you're right, I did do that. I can think of minor times when I know somebody is plotting something minor, because it's just, petty revenge over God knows what, and then...
Coal.
And I've...
Oh.
And I've stepped and I've stepped in just to forewarn somebody, just to say, yeah, you know what, it's not worth this. It's a
something minor.
Oh, minor. Oh, no, minors, not minors, you idiot. Okay.
Hey, what do you get when you drop a piano down a mine shaft?
A flat minor?
Yeah.
All right, 31. 31 is from? You got any guesses?
Monster?
Let's find out.
You're that or Kaz?
Nope, Kyle.
Oh, really?
Hello, Kyle. Kyle says, you have to front one band for a summer tour, assuming you drank some magic elixir so that you can sing like however you want. What band are you fronting? I have two answers, but you go right ahead.
Beethoven. I want my one voice to sound like an entire full-bodied orchestra.
Oh, my God. Oh, man, that so beats my answer. Okay. Because I wanted to say my first answer, Weird Al. But
oh, good answer.
But here's the thing. My magic elixir would not just have to give me the very flexible voice of Weird Al, but that man's stamina, because, I mean, what is he, like 90 now? I am watching him jump all over the stage like, God, it exhausts me just to watch him. Like, my eyes having to follow him back and forth across the stage, I'm exhausted by the time that is over. I could not keep up. But maybe they might be giants. I could do that, because I would enjoy doing that one. You know what? And you don't even have to give me the magic elixir. I'll just sing like crap. I don't care. I would just love to be on stage with those guys, because I love all of those songs. I know all the words to all of them. And I would just have a great time playing karaoke on stage for a whole tour. That would
really
be awesome.
It's weird how They Might Be Giants opens up their Gen Con concert with, we've never seen this many people in one place before.
Oh, they were so good. I love They Might Be Giants. I've seen them in concert like 4 times now. They're the best.
87 again.
Really?
Yeah, it's for Monster.
Oh. Well, do we have to answer it again?
No.
All right, go for it.
That is 89. It's from Ronster.
It's from Ronster. What image makes you feel guilty? He's pulling up an image on his phone.
Oh, no, it's for the second part.
Oh, all right. Well, answer the first part, because I'm not fast enough.
Oh, I'm not capable of guilt.
Nice. What image makes me feel guilty? Old yearbook pictures of my brother's high school girlfriend. Yeah. I feel really bad.
Why do you feel bad? Please explain. Hey, listeners.
What images make you feel happy? You gonna find them?
Here we go.
You swerve to avoid a squirrel. Unbeknownst to you, the squirrel pledges a life debt to you. In your darkest hour, the squirrel arrives. It's a squirrel in a biplane from one of the world wars. He's got the little leather cap on. He's got, oh, that's pretty good.
Also this.
Oh, yeah, what? I don't even know those.
It's the bubby.
So, yeah, the bubby. They take famous logos and then they basically just rearrange the letters or Photoshop them as best they can to come up with other slogans for Paul Blart, Blow Dart. That is terrible. To come up with other names, slogans. Like the only one of them that I really appreciate, and Zababi, you have to look at it because the kids are showing these to me all the time because they find these things and it makes them laugh their asses. All right, this one was good. This one, it's the Hot Pockets logo, but someone has removed hot, so it's just pockets, and it's a picture of a guy with his pockets turned inside out. No, the only one of those that I've ever really laughed out loud at when they show me these altered logos is the Red Lobster logo.
Rob Dobster, Peach Fosh, Leave Bobster.
It's the Red Lobster logo that's been rewritten as Rob Dobster, which to me is hysterical. I wish my cousin Rob was listening, because Rob Dobster is super funny. So, boy, that does make me happy. There's lots of images that make me happy. The guilty question was a lot harder. So, I mean, look, if you want to talk memes, any meme of Sheriff Rick telling dad jokes on The Walking Dead, those make me pretty happy. So, could you speak up? I'm not wearing pants. Quit showing me memes. I don't need to... Nothing. All right. Oh, wait. Oh, sorry. We're already... It's a guy on a CB. His girlfriend on the other end says, our relationship is over. And he says, our relationship is what? Over? Okay. Now stop. Stop, because I've rolled up a 26.
It's from Monster.
And 26 is from Kaz.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Kaz. Kaz says, what flavor is Kyle?
Vanilla.
Okay, why?
Because he's boring.
Oh, my God. All right.
I'm sorry, Kyle. I just not the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, no, no. Hey, look, we're being honest here. It is a Rorschach test of your feelings for Kyle. Look, Kaz, I'm going to say Kyle is grapefruit flavored. It's not a flavor that most people get. And if you mix it with anything great, if you mix anything else with the grapefruit, all you can taste is the grapefruit. All right. So it's a little overwhelming, but if you like grapefruit, he's like a Texas Red. He's like good quality grapefruit. Yeah, me personally, I am not a fan of grapefruit. All right, but I understand that it has some appeal for some people, and so therefore, and like I say, if you like it, I mean, Kyle is the best example of it. You will love Kyle. All right, if you have that acquired taste,
if you like grapefruit, you'll love Kyle.
All right, but again. Have I hammered this point home enough? Have we gone? All right. Here we go.
All right. That is 75.
Once again, I love you, Kyle. You are really amazing. Yes. And actually, look, even though I don't care much for grapefruit myself, I do have a taste for, well, all right. That sounds gross.
I do. To your brother.
I do enjoy my brother's company.
I thought you were just going to go full hog on it. I do enjoy my brother's taste.
No, you're disgusting. Although actually, if you lick him just behind the ear, That's where he puts his aftershave. Just a little dab of it. And he tastes like Aqua Velva. So, okay, you know what? I'd like to amend my answer. Kyle tastes like Aqua Velva. All right. So, Kyle says, what is your favorite single live show that you've ever seen? And clearly I'm going to say Weird Al. And then Kyle says, if you said Weird Al, say something other than Weird Al.
Matt and Kim.
They Might Be Giants. I love They Might Be Giants. But, although, well, wait. When you say live show, look, it doesn't have to be a music concert, because I will tell you, I adored seeing Chicago performed live.
Ooh, Blue Man Group is also good.
Blue Man Group, well, all right. Blue Man Group is one that I loved Blue Man Group when we saw them, but afterwards, I don't think I could ever watch them again, because afterwards you find out that so much of what they do on stage that looks like it is spontaneous is not at all. It's all very, very closely rehearsed, often involving plants in the audience. And if I were to watch them again, I feel like every time they do something that seems spontaneous, my mind would be sitting there analyzing like it's me trying to solve a magic trick, going, oh, yeah, well, they just set that guy up, and the magic would be gone for me if I watched them again. But the first time I saw them, I wasn't thinking about any of that. I hadn't done any research on them. I was just enjoying the show, and it was really fun. But no, Chicago Live was really good, and Wicked, when we saw Wicked in Chicago, oh, man, loved Wicked. We didn't see Wicked in the play Chicago. We saw Chicago in South Sioux City, and we saw Wicked in Chicago.
Seems like a kind of weird place to move Chicago to.
I know. I understand. You would have thought we could just see Chicago while we were in Chicago, but we didn't. We were there to watch Wicked. So,
was it Wicked?
Oh, dude. It was Wicked awesome.
42, the answer to life, the universe, and everything. What's the question? And my head proceeds to explode.
All right. The question to the ultimate answer is from Stan that says, are there any old school, defined as 70s or earlier, action heroes whose movies that you like?
42.
And the answer is 42. No. No, in general, 70s or earlier, I didn't care for the Death Wish movies. I didn't care for the Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry movies, although that was a lot in the 80s as well. I never watched Shaft.
Is Shaft really a superhero?
No. Action hero. Yeah, and I'm sure someone can come up with some examples. If I had a full list of 70s action hero movies in front of me, I would possibly find several that I'm like, oh yeah, I saw that. I really enjoyed that. But no, none of them that stand out to me off the top of my head. So, no, not really.
Oh, wait, no. Demolition Man. I would love to see a remake of Demolition Man.
Demolition Man was the 80s.
Dang it.
I know. I'm sorry, man. 11. 11 is from...
Monster.
11 is from Kaz.
Why am I so bad at this?
Because you failed math.
Yeah.
Alright. Kaz says, what's your earliest sword and sorcery or fantasy novel memory? Novel. What? Earliest sword and sorcery novel or earliest fantasy novel that you can remember?
Either The Divide or the Ink series with the dragons.
Oh, nice. Good call. I read The Divide, and...
Have you read all of The Divide?
I think I read two of them. Maybe I read all three. I can't remember.
I think there's four, actually.
Anyway, the Divide was not bad. It was... The Divide was written for younger teens, and I think if I had read it when I was 12 or 11 or 13, I would have really enjoyed it.
I did.
As an adult, I also still appreciated it as for what it did, but it was also, it's really simplistic and transparent when it tries to do political stuff. It's got it laid out so that a 12-year-old can follow the politics of it and think that they're being super deep and that they've caught on with everything and all this, and they're like, yeah, I get it. Yes, I'm right there with you. And then as an adult, you're looking back.
So was The Neverending Story, I mean.
Right, no, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that it's one that, it's a kid's novel that doesn't translate as well to adults, which, you know, and you need some of those. That's perfectly fine. But my earliest is, I'm going to have to say the Narnia series. I first read the Narnia series when I was 8 or 9. I can't remember. And then I read them, you know, oh God, something like 7 times through, 9 times through the entire series by the time I was 15 or 16. Because it was my first fantasy series, anything like that. I also remember in 5th grade reading The Hobbit. And loving The Hobbit, and then starting on The Lord of the Rings, and realizing Lord of the Rings was way too advanced for
me. It's the Fire series that I was thinking of.
Okay, the Fire series.
They're little clay dragons.
Gotcha, not the Ink series, the Fire series.
Yes.
All right, cool. But yeah, for me it's Narnia.
60.
60.
This one's from Ronster.
This one is from... It's from Ronster! Woo! Oh, thank goodness. I thought he wasn't going to get anything else this show. Let me hear your best insincere apology.
Listen. I love being on your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to talk less. I am sorry.
Look, here's the deal. I'm sorry you were offended.
I'm sorry that you didn't get the joke.
Right, look, I'm sorry that you're so stupid. That's me kidding. No, but seriously, I'm sorry that you got offended. I was just expressing my opinion. I'm trying to help, and if you were offended, then I feel bad about that.
Look, I'm sorry you got mad. But in my defense, I did say, no offense.
Winner. 35 is... I don't even have any clue if my numbers are correct anymore. 35 is from...
Ronster again.
Ron! Oh no, I think this is number 9 for this show. Alright. Your enthusiasm for nerdy things is contagious. Have you ever thought of going into sales? Have I ever thought of going into sales? Nope. Nope, I don't.
Mean, all it is just big sheets of canvas. I mean, like, honestly, it's...
Okay,
no. That's not too exciting, right?
You get credit for that. I don't want to go into sales. I am even hesitant about, you know, maybe someday that, you know, I'll run ads on this show, you know, if I ever were popular enough.
Yeah, that's the dream, right?
That I had, yeah, that I could run ads and make enough money to pay for my hosting costs.
God, I wish I could sell out.
So, but even then, it's a matter of, I don't want to pitch for anything that I don't believe in, and I understand that there's lots of shows that they say that. They say, look, I'm not going to try and sell you something that I haven't used myself. I'm not going to try and sell you something that I don't believe in myself. And so they then give you this heartfelt pitch. And I know that even when it's people I like and they say that they wouldn't endorse it if it wasn't something they believed in, sometimes they're lying. And I don't want to ever have to be in that position where people listening to me going, yeah, okay, whatever, you're earning your check. Go ahead. That's fine. Even that makes me a little queasy. So selling requires, you know, my livelihood requires you to buy stuff. And the more stuff you buy, whether you need it or not, the better off I am. And I don't want to have to be in the position of having to convince myself that what I'm doing is
the
ethical.
Right thing.
Yeah, that convincing you to buy more of something that I know
now,
you don't
look,
need.
Look, here's the thing. I know you got this money right in front of you now. But if you upgrade to the deluxe part of this plan for, like, another $200,000...
Look,
can put you on a payment plan that'll go over the next 10 years. It'll be fine.
Look, you... What I'm saying, though, is if you don't spring now, because we've got a special on it, if you don't spring now for that rust-proof undercoating, all right?
We will personally come out and rust your goddamn car.
Oh, no, this is for your bed.
Oh.
This is a... So
wait, why'd you put a rust-proof coat on your bed?
Because I couldn't think of anything else that was inappropriate for a rust-proof undercoating in time to make the joke.
We will
funny,
take
so.
Your dog back, I swear.
Oh, that's no, that's right. If you don't get the rust-proof undercoating, then who knows what this dog will look like a year from now? There, see, dog would have been much better for that joke. Okay. This is the last one.
Can I just please know what a rusted out dog looks like? To Google.
72. And 72 is from... It's from Ronster! Yay! Way to round it out, bud.
Oh, hey, the rusty dog is an Irish pub.
Now, why are we not surprised? Ron says, what is the last song that you purchased?
I'm a millennial. I have never once bought music.
Yeah, see, that was really a poor question.
Actually, no, hold on. The last song I bought was Erasure's I Wanna Be With You on my friend's phone in a hidden app that he couldn't shut off without my password.
I know that song. I like that song.
You don't like it when it plays on your phone for 2 days straight.
All right, hold on. I'm opening iTunes right now. Because the last music I would have purchased would have been on iTunes, and it will probably take all of about 7 minutes to boot up. So, you know, while we're waiting, you got anything else you want to talk about?
I'm trying to find a rusty dog.
Okay. All right, you look for the rusty dog. Oh, God, it's been so long since I've been in iTunes, I have to go through the licensing agreement again. Oh, that's been a while. All right. Oh, there's a good rusty dog. That's not... I wouldn't have it in my house, but okay.
Well, that's what happens when you don't get that bottom coat. Look at
those
legs.
Right. That's exactly right.
It's a brass, like, dachshund held up by, like, four sticks.
Do you agree to share details about your library with Apple in order to see artist images, album covers, and other related information? Oh, God, you guys are so intrusive. Stop. All right, let's go to the purchased folder. And in the purchased folder... Oh, how long does it take to flip this over? Oh, now see, that's a rusty dog I like. It's a rusty dog built of old junk and screws.
It's an umbrella holder.
Ball bearings. Oh, it is an umbrella holder now. Nice. Okay, the pooping rusty dog is cute. All right, anyway, but that makes for great radio, doesn't it? All right. Wow. The last song that I purchased is a song called Born for Greatness by Papa Roach.
Really?
From their album Crooked Teeth. Yes, this would be something that I bought.
You recently bought a Papa Roach song?
All right. For whatever it's worth, I bought all of these songs for your mom.
Was it your last resort?
But I bought these for your mom because she, when she finds stuff, she just puts it in the list. And then eventually, next time I go into iTunes, and this was January 2nd that I did this. I'll go into iTunes and play around a little bit, and then I'll open up her list. And if she's got anything in there, I'll buy the songs. But on that same day, as part of that same batch where I bought Born for Greatness by Papa Roach, that was the last one. But a couple songs before that is Ben Franklin's song by the Decemberists. And I recommend. Go over to YouTube and look up Ben Franklin's song by the Decemberists, because I love that song. Oh, man. Nerd song of all time is great. All right. Anyway, so that answers that question. And that was our final question. So therefore, we're going to turn it over to GLaDOS.
Woo!
Oh, yeah, it's off.
Oh,
and she's got a recap of this week's episode so far. I win.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk, and my bumper music this week was just Weezer's In the Garage. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use, and write me a nice review, or write me a crappy review, but give me 5 stars, because that's what makes the difference. If you want to do something super nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends, because if you're enjoying it, spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I'm always looking for your listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for Listener Betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research. My contact information, Mike at nerdprideradio.com, at nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up, send me a message. We will hang out together and become best friends in the world. We'll have fun.
Do you think if you say it fast enough, I won't catch it when you stumble?
I didn't stumble that time, so therefore...
Actually, you...
Not even once. Not even once. If I had, you would have pointed it out, right?
You were going pretty fast there, friend.
I know. Because I've been practicing, and I'm really good at it.
You have not been practicing.
Wait. We'll have fun. And now it's time for Listener Betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and to Facebook, and I post up to everyone, hey, we're recording right now. Anything you want to add, we will read off right here at the end of the podcast, which is what I am doing right this moment. So let's start off with Facebook this time. So hold on. I'm hitting complete on
God,
all of these.
God, you almost had it.
I know. My timing was, I was trying to get as close as I could, and I screwed it up. So here I am on Facebook. Oh, look at this. The Facebook page hasn't even finished loading yet.
Well, let's start with Nerd Pride.
No. I really want to do it this way because I think there's more information on Nerd Pride. So I think it'll be a grander climax to end over there because they simply have more material. But here it is. I found it. All right. So I write done. Now, the first one. Oh, wait. First, I have to let the people know what I wrote. And I start off with, now recording episode 221, ask us stuff, and we'll put it at the end of the cast. Also, name a song that you'd like to hear Aiden sing.
How dare you? I wasn't even here for this part.
I can't promise anyone will actually sing anything, but I'm interested in your opinions on the matter.
How dare you?
I knew you'd like that one.
Throw me under the goddamn bus.
Nelly says, hi, Mike and Aiden. I'm already getting hyped for Gen Con for no reason. For now reason? Nope. All right. Who all is coming this year? Can we please make more time to hang out? All right. I think Andrew can't make it this year. I think me, Pat, and Dave for sure, and I think Sarah Beth is coming this year, but I can't remember. I don't know if Bill is coming back. Aiden?
I'm going. Right. I might have a couple of friends that are also going, so.
Okay. Interesting. We'll have to get exact numbers in time to know hotel rooms.
Yep.
I have no idea if Jacob's coming, but I know Jacob is planning on doing, job search stuff because he's graduating in May. So Jacob may not be making it because he may be in the middle of transition. So we'll see what happens. First response. Hold on. We just paused. Sorry, I didn't mean.
Because I have yet to hear Fergie sing the national.
Like, I got all the way through Nelly's first question, and then he said, wait, pause it, because I've never heard Fergie sing the national anthem. And so, let's do that.
Because her question was that she'd like to hear me sing
right.
Fergie's
rendition.
Because
the follow-up is, I'd like to hear Aiden do a rendition of Fergie's version of the national anthem. Now that we've heard it, hey, you want to go ahead and take care of that?
No, because I don't want to leave the country in disgrace.
The best part about this, because she's...
When it zooms over the crowd and they're like, not making eye contact.
Right. We're looking at all the basketball players, and as the camera is panning across this, I'm like, oh my god, look at them. There, it's pain. Look at how this is dragging out for him. And Aiden's like, oh my god, we're not allowed to kneel, but she's allowed to do this? I cannot believe it. I don't know any players, so I don't know who's who. But they focus on one of the guys towards the end, and I mean, and his mouth is just hanging open. He's just agape, and it's possible that he's just standing there bored because this is a really long national anthem. But it's also possible that from his expression, I mean, it's like it looks like he's shell shocked, mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he realizes the camera's on him, and he's feeling really embarrassed that he's just standing there with his mouth hanging open, like. He should have had some sort of look of appreciation or adoration on his face, and he didn't. And so he's like giggling to himself now. If you enjoyed that version of the national anthem, okay, more power to you. Everyone's got their own taste. I will just let you know I did not. Okay. Next one is Sarah Beth, and Sarah Beth says, okay, Aiden, sing a Who I'd Be from Shrek the Musical.
Actually, I played the Big Bad Wolf in Shrek the Musical.
Uh-huh.
It spawned some really weird things in me, but I don't remember that song, so I'm going to go to my good friend YouTube again and refresh myself.
All right, we just played it, and because he's like, I was in Shrek the Musical. I do not know what song this is, and he plays it, and he's like, oh, this one.
Yeah, no.
What?
That was Sam and John.
Okay.
Up on stage, rocking that song, by the way. Just not for me.
Oh, God. All right, so you're not going to give them anything. Can you sing anything from Shrek the Musical?
Well, I wasn't requested to sing anything else from Shrek the Musical, but...
If you had to pick yourself something that you would sing from Shrek the Musical, what would you sing? If you had to pick it yourself, and yeah, you don't have to because no one requested it, but if you did...
Story of My Life, because that's the song I actually did. And,
okay.
You know, I could, but Dad, it says done. No, there. I am not singing Story of My Life.
Well, but there's a request for it right there.
I don't sing.
You want me to delete the done part and then move it down?
I don't.
So that this is actually included in the right time frame? Because I can do that too.
I don't sing.
Oh, come on. How does it go?
I don't sing. I'll play it.
No, I'll sing something.
I don't want to hear you sing something. That's not a fair trade.
What?
I loved doing that song when I was on stage because I wasn't Aiden. I was a very masculine wolf in a dress.
Yes?
When I'm not playing me, I'll sing for you. If you give me a dress and you hair glue my hair up into ears, perfect. I will sing for you then, because I will not be myself.
Okay, then I'm a little disappointed that you had me put this question up.
Excuse me?
No, you know what? Let's just move on. So
don't you throw this on me!
Hold on. Oh, wait. Sarah Beth had more, though. She says, I'm wandering around a university I haven't been to in over 20 years, totally lost, trying to get to a friend's concert. I allowed myself 20 minutes extra for getting lost, but underestimated. Oh! Bliss, someone just gave me directions. All right, see? She's saved. No questions. Good. Cool. I thought you were going to ask us to tell you where you're going.
Can I just put a disclaimer that I was completely not even in the room when he wrote that listener betrayal?
Right. You didn't have to be in the room. You had already asked me if I would put it up for you.
I did not.
I said, are you sure you want to sing on the podcast? And he said, yeah, I love singing. Go ahead. Ask for suggestions. I'm taking songs right now. And then it comes down to the moment and he's afraid to belly flop. So, oh well. Maybe another time. I'm sorry. It wasn't him. Okay, anyway. Over to my website, my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. And, the first response is from Walrus. Walrus, are you not gaming tonight?
Well, was there not a special question?
Oh, there is. I said, we're recording. What's the last movie you saw in a theater? How was it? Oh yeah. And ask us anything. It's me and Aiden, but Eli and Noah are lurking around too, if you need them. So, Walrus is not gaming. He says, another weekend, the group stalls. Is it bad when an ostensibly left-wing supporter gets driven to screaming right-wing hate slogans? Yeah, that's pretty bad, dude. I would love to get some more background on that, because that sounds like it was awful. Is it possible to have your head self-explode?
We were just talking about that when I was talking about the question to the life of the universe and everything.
Mm-hmm. Can...
I always wish it can.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible. I think only in fantasy scenes from absurdist movies and TV shows and comic books. But yeah, I don't think explode. I mean, certainly you could have something burst, you know. You could kill yourself accidentally through, you know, some sort of aneurysm or whatever, but I don't think explode would quite fit here.
Do you mean self-destruct? Because that's an actual term.
No, he means self-explode. That's what it says right there.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, no, Walrus is a smart guy.
What if things didn't self-destruct, they just self-deconstructed?
God, there's a bunch of really good jokes to be written there, but they take more time than I have. Next is Talvin. Talvin says, the last movie seen in the theater was Last Jedi. We don't go to the theater all that much. That's because you don't have MoviePass.
Again, MoviePass, if you're listening.
How's the Paranoia game going? Is it almost done so we can read it? The Paranoia game is going swimmingly well, and still slightly slower than I want, but swimmingly. All right? And slow and steady, and yes, I'm pretty sure it's almost done.
Is Talvin's avatar the sexiest man alive, Chris Pratt?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes, that's Chris Pratt, and that's Chris Guest.
Oh, is it Chris's?
And that's Chris Hemsworth.
Is the theme Chris's?
Yes, and that's Chris Rock. Yeah, it's all Chris's. So
are you kind of scraping the bottle of the?
No, I thought this. No, I thought because there's so many Chris's that have played superheroes. Chris Evans has played multiple superheroes. I mean, this is
and his dad's a dentist.
And so, really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that. All right, and then. Talvin says, how awesome is DM Darks?
Oh,
so awesome. Yeah, totally awesome, don't you think? Yeah, we do. We do. Next is Aliahad. Aliahad says, the last movie I saw in theaters was Last Jedi 2. Sweet.
Yeah.
You notice neither one of them mentioned if they'd liked it or not, even though I kind of asked. You're not very good at following instructions.
It's betrayal, Dad.
Oh, God, it is betrayal. Okay. Nope, you guys are right on target. Good job. What was your least favorite game at game night? My least favorite
was whatever Utaku card game that they were playing
was God Ball, because I forgot to bring it. So, I didn't actually forget to bring it. I intentionally didn't bring it because, I just didn't have it ready. It required more time. I thought I had budgeted enough time to kind of get all the cards ready and get it the way I wanted it to look. And I'm glad I didn't because, there were way more 11-year-olds at this than I was expecting. And I don't think it would have been a fair play test. I don't think I would have enjoyed it.
What was your least favorite game at
all
game
right,
night?
But my least favorite game that I actually played at game night last night, was, Laser Riders, to tell you the truth. It was, And I love Laser Riders. I love everything about Laser Riders. I've always enjoyed it. Now, this gives you an idea of the high quality of gaming experience I was having last night, because Laser Riders is always a good game. And we had a good time. I mean, we really did. But it just, this particular game, we were playing on a very large round table, and we spaced out really well. And so everybody's approach was, the crystals are in the middle of the table, and so everyone's just like rocketing in from the edges. If you look at the pictures of game night last night, you'll see it's just all of us, each one of us rockets in a straight line from the edge, and then mess around a little bit. There was very little overlap and very little of the really tangled stuff that makes Laser Riders so much fun. So it was a good game, and we had fun playing it, but it was by far the least exciting game of Laser Riders I've ever played. So there you go. And so, yeah, now tell me why it's a great game anyway and why people enjoy playing it.
Oh my gosh, Laser Riders.
Laser Riders is super awesome. I mean, look, you've played it before. It's a great game. I love Laser Riders. This last night, I would not play on a table that size again. Like I say, it was a round table, which I was excited about, but it was just a little bit too large, and I think we should have pushed the edges in somewhere or maybe pulled up a different table, something. All right, the next is from Flameblade. Flame says, longest game, shortest game. Memorable game that you lost, worst game that you won. Okay. Worst game that I won is easy, because that was Laser Riders. I won. But longest game, I think the longest game we played was The Captain is Dead.
Sorry, I had to reboot.
The first instance of it, we actually pulled it out of the box, and we all, like five or six of us together, we all read the rules together. So we read through the entire rule book while doing the setup, while learning all of the rules straight out of the rule book. And it took forever, and yet even that, everyone was invested. Everyone was on board, and everyone paid attention.
I was purposely excluded from this, so I can't talk about it.
It was really, really rewarding to have a setup where I didn't feel like I needed to learn it ahead of time and then teach everybody else. It's like literally we just pulled out of the box, and we read the rules together, and we enjoyed even that part of it. Because especially with The Captain's Dead, there's so much setup to do, with getting the cards placed in the right spaces around the board and learning what every card does and all that. Super exciting. And so with setup and with the gameplay, that was probably 2.5 hours of that first game. And so that was super long. Shortest game would have to be the second round of Rhino Hero, because Rhino Hero is only designed to be about 4 minutes long anyway. And the second one went over at only like the fifth level. I mean, we were barely up there and that thing came over. So, that was short, but again, fun. Most memorable game that you lost is, absolutely going to be, The Captain is Dead again, because we lost both times spectacularly and learned so much from it. And I really want another shot at this to start learning strategy and start understanding how to get things going, and how to really actually start making progress on it. Because I get the feeling that, like I say, if we play just playing catch up, we can keep just even with the game without ever actually repairing anything. We can just hold our own without much effort, but then that doesn't take us anywhere. So I get the feeling that in a good game of it, where we actually finally win, I get a feeling it's going to be like playing Kobolds. That experience of just being overwhelmed at every moment, and each round you're just barely pulling yourself out, going, okay, we bought ourselves one more round. And then the next round, okay, good, we just bought ourselves one more round. That's all we need. I think The Captain is Dead is going to be one of my favorite games. I'm looking forward to playing more of it. Flame then says, Black Panther was the last movie I saw. Awesome. Open captioned, unlike your show. Well, pardon me, all right? You know what? Wait a minute. You've never watched the video of my show. How do you know the captions aren't on there? Oh, wait, I don't have it. Damn it. I don't have the money it takes for a transcriptionist, but, Flame, if you have some ideas for some people who would do that for free.
No, whoa. There is an answer here. Flame, what you could do is create a private YouTube account, grab the MP4s of Nerd Pride Radio, and upload them.
Wait.
Now you watch them with the auto-closed captions, and then laugh at what an idiot Mike is for saying random gibberish, because the YouTube auto-closed caption is stupid.
Right, no, wait, can we just plug this into a text-to-speech and just see what happens?
What, the MP4 file?
Yeah. Just drop the whole thing into text-to-speech, let it just auto-translate, and just see what comes out of it. I mean, again, I'm way too lazy to do that. Someone else wants to do that for me? Just take my MP3 and dump it into text-to-speech and see what you get, because I would be really entertained to find out.
Do you mean speech-to-text?
Speech-to-text. You knew what I meant. Yes.
No. What I imagined you doing was converting the MP3 to a JPEG.
Oh.
Of, like, the code.
No.
And then reading that code with a text-to-speech. No.
Speech-to-text. And then run it through Google Translate into Chinese. And then to Greek. And then back to English. And then see what we get. That, I think, will be about the right flavor.
You're actually way smarter that way.
And I'm sorry, Flame. Yeah, I don't have captions. I wish I did. All right. But
then I said this apology for not having captions is kind of moot, right?
Right, but eventually when this is captioned, he will hear it and he will realize that I was sincere years ago. So,
wow, hear that? He's not even planning on doing it soon.
So, then that's it. It's just me saying done. So, you guys are awesome. Thanks for coming around. Say goodnight, Eli. Say goodnight, Noah.
Where? Goodnight.
Say goodnight, Aiden.
Goodnight.
R2?
He's off.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, see, look what happens.
I love you guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.